Runyon had a very colorful way of depicting the denizens of New York City. Many of his books and short stories showed up in film, like Guys and Dolls, and on the Damon Runyon Theater on radio. Here's the story, Tight Shoes, featuring Dan Schindler as Broadway.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation of a classic old-time radio tale by Damon Runyon. It's called Tight Shoes.
I got nothing against you, Bilby. When you sell me shoes, they fit. But these...
I swear, you asked for 8.5. Look inside. That's the size of those shoes.
Shut up! Mr. Lambert, I assure you, look, take any pair in the place, free. Take 10 pairs.
All I want to see is this clerk flattened.
Well, I'll fire him right away. Now, please.
Okay, Bilby, but if I come in here again and see that kisser of his, so help me, I'll tear this place apart. Come on, boys, let's go.
You dope! You sap!
Mr. Bilby, I sold him 8.5. He asked.
He takes a size 11.
Then why...
You got no sense. You almost lost me a fine customer.
I sold him 8.5.
Put 11s on his feet and tell him they're 8.5.
How was I to know that?
You know it now, but it won't do you any good because from now on, you don't work here.
But the job, I need it.
Get out! Get out! And if you so much as pass here on the other side of the street, I'll shoot you!
So, Rupert Salsinger is out of a job because of a pair of tight shoes. And that starts the whole thing, which ends up very strange indeed. And what the events are that follow, I will tell you in a minute.
I'm Marge Lutton. Arts Ensemble of Actors breathe new life into classic stories from days of old-time radio, as well as bringing new audio dramas to full imagination. There are lots of great stories out there just waiting for the nod of recognition. Adventure, romance, westerns, mysteries, comedies, historical stories based on real life. Maybe even you have a story. Please have a look at our website for more information. AmericanRadioTheater.org.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Tight Shoes.
Well, Rupert is out of a job. He takes it hard because he is in love with a doll named Minnie Schultz and wishes to marry her. So he is very low indeed and walks around until dark. He takes a good look at the East River, but changes his mind because it is very muddy and he has got on his best suit. Then he drops in a little place and the scene is as follows.
The injustice of it, the terrible injustice.
Huh? Were you speaking to me?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, I thought you were.
I was talking to myself.
Oh. Well, would you like to talk to me?
Who are you?
You look sad.
I am. I may kill myself.
Do you think it will help things?
This world is full of injustice. Frightful, unfair injustice.
Is it?
But what would you know about that? You.
I can learn.
Ha! I can see you know nothing about injustice.
Have you ever been sued?
What's that got to do with it?
I have. Dozens of times. Sometimes I think it's a career.
Heh, go away from me. Leave me die in peace.
I'm trying to help.
Help? You? Look at you. Expensive clothes, full dress.
Well, how do you know I'm not advertising something?
Your shirt front don't light up.
Should it?
Look, I don't know who you are, but I don't like you.
Why not?
I can tell from looking at you that you've never worked in your life.
Come to think of it, I haven't.
There you are. So what would the loss of a job mean to you? Nothing. What would losing a chance to marry the girl you love mean to you? Nothing. Go away.
You interest me.
Who are you, anyway?
My name is Calvin Colby.
I thought so. Playboy. Strictly a hooray Henry.
I feel sorry for you. You look so sad. I don't like to see people sad.
Yeah, it's just talk. Talk. Someday people of your class will find out what it means to be the butt of injustice. Once the barricades are up, look out.
Look, Mr.
Salsinger. Rupert Salsinger. Remember that name, because someday it will be a flaming torch of liberty.
Well, you can't get lighted up on a soft drink. Look, I'm very interested in all this. Why not tell me about it?
What for?
I don't know. It just sounds like a good idea. Besides, the idea of barricades in New York intrigues me.
Dilettante. Typical of your class.
I'm a good listener. What do you say, Rupert?
Mr. Salsinger.
All right, Mr. Salsinger. Begin at the beginning.
Now, although this Calvin Colby is strictly a hoorah Henry, like Rupert says, he is nevertheless a nice guy. So Rupert tells him the story, and when he finishes, Calvin says,
"That is undoubtedly the saddest story I've ever heard, Rupee."
"Not only that, but I'll lose many."
"Yes, you'll lose many. Oh, the bitter injustice."
"Cal, what will I do?"
"Rupee, we'll do something."
"Minnie's so wonderful. Have you got a girl?"
"Lots of them. They all turn out to be plaintiffs."
"Then you are the victim of injustice, too. You're the victim of this.
"I certainly am."
"We should rise against the injustice. Carry a sword of liberty down Broadway."
"Make it Fifth Avenue. I live up that way."
"Cal?"
"What, Rupee?"
"What can I do? Minnie's father wants her to marry Gus Schmelk."
"Who is Gus Schmelk?"
"He owns a drugstore."
"Capitalist."
"Exactly."
"Let's go throw some barricades at him."
"There's nothing I can do. Nothing."
"There must be, and I'll help."
"You're a real friend, Cal."
"I must help you, but how?"
No, I can't ask you. You have other things to do. You're all dressed up. You had someplace to go."
"Oh, yes. I've forgotten now, but even if I could remember, you come first. We must right this wrong. We must carry something or other down Broadway. What do you suggest?"
"We'll fling our challenge at the world."
"Wonderful. Let's go fling some challenges."
So Rupert and Calvin start walking. Nobody pays any attention to their challenges, although several gendarmes give them the eye. But as it does not seem a good idea to fling challenges at cops, Calvin and Rupert find themselves uptown, where the scene is as follows.
"Rupee, where are we?"
"This looks like Columbus Circle to me."
"Oh? This looks like a nice place to start our campaign."
"All right, let's begin."
"Wait a minute. Look."
"What?"
"Do I see men standing on boxes?"
"Yeah."
"Good. For a moment, I thought I was ill. Why are they standing on boxes?"
"They're making speeches."
"What about?"
"Injustice."
"There are too many of them. Look, 2, 3, 5 of them. They're too scattered. What they need is centralization of ideas. They need the strong guiding hand of an organizer. One man to speak for them all."
"You're absolutely right."
"My father always says organization is the greatest thing in the world. You must meet my father sometime. And my mother. But they're my parents."
"Sure coincidence. Don't let it worry you."
"Rupert, I have a wonderful idea. Get on that soapbox."
"Why?"
"I'll tell the world about the great wrong done to you. Help me up on this bench."
"Wonderful. Up you go."
"Now we'll go to work. Here you are, ladies and gentlemen, here you are. Step this way, I've got something to say."
"Rupert, drum up some business."
"Sure. People, comrades, here is your leader. Step up and listen to him."
"And what are we giving away? Nothing. Step up, step up."
"Step up, step up. Listen to the truth."
"My friends, I come before you tonight as a bringer of..." I got it. "Listen to me. I speak against the injustice of the world. I speak of my friend here. This downtrodden man who, because he needed a pair of shoes, was thrown out of a job and cast from society."
"Hear, hear."
"What?"
"Hear, hear."
"Oh.
Never in my life have I been so disturbed by such a wrong. Look at my friend. He has no shoes.
And what's he got on his feet?
I'm glad you asked that, friend. What has he got on his feet? Shackles. Shackles of steel forged by society that now rejects him because he can no longer produce the prodigious amount of work demanded of him. He has given the best years of his life to his employer. Now that employer throws him aside like an old shoe. Yes, an old shoe.
Hear, hear.
Go ahead, we're with you.
Thank you. Now, what shall we do to right this wrong? I say on to Bilby's Shoe Store. On to Bilby's.
On to Bilby's, the symbol of man's inhumanity to man.
So, Calvin steps off the bench and starts to walk. Now, a guy in full dress who wants to march on a shoe store is a curiosity, even in New York. So, the citizens around there who have got nothing better to do line up behind Calvin and Rupert, and the parade starts. At first there are only a few, but before they get two blocks, this increases to several hundred, because the spectacle of a character in a high hat and full dress leading a parade down Broadway is the most intriguing to one and all who behold same. They are almost to Bilby's, and by now Calvin Colby forgets what this is all about and says to Rupert,
Rupert, there's something I do not understand.
What is it, comrade?
I remember starting out with you earlier, but I seem to have gotten mixed up in a parade. Is it St. Patrick's Day?
We are marching to Bilby's.
What's that?
The shoe store.
Oh? Why?
To right a wrong.
Oh.
The cry is forward! On to Bilby's!
There it is.
Aha! Halt, friends! Friends, we are here. This is the place. Look at it. Look at its bloated owner standing in front. His iniquitous and sordid mart open even at night to suck the blood from his slaves. Forward!
Salsinger, what is this? What the devil?
I have come back, Mr. Bilby.
So this is Bilby.
Who are you? What are these people doing here?
Bilby, the hour has struck.
Look, whatever this is, cut it out. You get away from here and take your...
insult to injury! Friends, follow me!
Follow us!
Stop it now! Get away! Go back! You'll wreck the store!
Shoes! Shoes! The symbols of slavery! Destroy them!
No! No! Get away from those shelves! Police! Help! Murder! Police!
The Bastille has fallen!
My shoes! My stock! My store!
Run, you coward!
Rupert?
What is it, comrade?
I'm sleepy.
Well, the citizens in the parade see their chance to get some shoes, and they take it. It is not 5 minutes before Bilby's store is wrecked, but everybody has a pair of shoes, and some of the shoes get all mixed up. In fact, for weeks afterward, parties are running around Broadway trying to match up odd shoes. This fun is finally stopped by the gendarmes, and what happens later, I will tell you in a minute.
And now, back to the Damon Runyon Theater and the famous story, Tight Shoes.
Like I say, the gendarmes break up the festivities, and Rupert and Calvin are bounced in the clink. But it seems that Calvin's father has quite a few shekels, and some influence, and springs them. Then it comes up the next morning in Calvin's apartment.
All right, all right, all right. Oh, Hello, Dad.
Kelvin, this is the last straw. I put up with your nonsense and Playboy tactics for the last time.
Why? What did I do?
Do? Have you read the papers?
I will as soon as I can focus my eyes. Why?
Why? Why? I waded through 100 reporters in the lobby downstairs, grabbing my coat, asking me for a statement on social justice.
Oh? What social justice?
Do you know what you did last night?
Vaguely.
Your mother has had to leave for the Catskills, and she hates the Catskills.
I'm sorry, but I...
Look here. It says, strange as it may seem, one of the town's most glamorous playboys, Calvin Colby, ended up last night in a new role, that of a thinker. Calvin, what the devil do you mean by becoming a thinker?
Please, Dad, I guess.
This is the last straw. Who in the name of... Who is that?
Good morning.
Oh, that's Rupert Salsinger.
Oh, your friend of last night.
I feel awful.
Rupert, this is Father. Dad, this is Rupert Salsinger.
You radical.
Me?
Yes, you.
Now look here, Dad. Don't blame Rupert. I guess it was all my fault.
Listen, you think of something to say to those reporters downstairs before you do anything else. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
All right. If you have any regard at all for your mother, you'll do something to get her out of the Catskills.
I'm sick.
Listen, Rupert. Talk to the reporters.
Me? What'll I say?
Anything.
I wonder what Minnie'll say.
Who's Minnie?
I told you. My girl.
Oh.
Your father hates me.
My father hates me.
Listen, I've got an idea.
I will not march again.
No. Listen, you fix it up with me for Minnie, and I'll talk to the reporters.
It's a deal. Where will I find Minnie?
Here, I'll write down the address. Her father owns a delicatessen on 2nd Avenue. And please hurry, because she's liable to marry Gus Schmelk after all this.
Yes, sir. May I help you?
What?
May I help you?
Oh.
Is something wrong?
Oh, no. I'm sorry, but I'm looking for Minnie Schultz.
That's me.
You? You're... Oh, no.
Oh, yes. What do you want? Who are you?
I'm sorry. My name's Colby. Calvin Colby.
You're Calvin Colby?
I think so. I came to tell you that Rupert is all right.
Oh, Mr. Colby, that was a wonderful thing you did last night.
What?
Wait till I come around the counter.
The rest of you matches.
What?
Nothing. But, well, swear, you're Minnie Schultz?
Is there anything wrong?
Wrong? Nothing that 5 million more of you wouldn't cure.
What?
Rupert's all right.
He's with you?
At my apartment.
Oh.
Well, that's what I came to tell you. I guess I'll be going now.
Oh, wait.
Yes?
I read all about it in the papers. It was wonderful for a man like you, with all your money and position, to fight for Rupert and other people.
But you see, I really didn't do anything. I was...
And you're modest.
Modest?
Most men in your position wouldn't even look twice at Rupert. They wouldn't care. But you're actually... It was wonderful.
You really think so?
Yes, I do.
How is Gus Schmelk?
Why?
Just thought I'd ask.
Are you going ahead with your work?
My work?
You're not going to stop now. Why, everybody's talking about you. How you changed overnight from being a
playboy?
Yes. Into a wonderful person.
Look, Miss Schultz.
Please call me Minnie.
Yes, Minnie. Well, look, I have to tell you that I...
Yes. What are you going to tell me?
You really think it was wonderful?
Splendid.
And you think I'm wonderful, too?
You say Rupert's all right?
Just fine.
Why didn't he come to see me?
Well, he had to talk to some reporters.
Oh.
So I came instead.
I'm glad you did.
You are? Why?
Did you want anything else, Mr. Colby?
Calvin.
We have some nice bologna.
A dollar's worth.
That's a lot.
Make it $5 worth.
Are you giving a party?
No, it'll take you longer to slice that much.
Well, 1 hour and $75 worth of delicatessen stuff later, Calvin Colby leaves Minnie Schultz, and he has got a look in his eyes. It takes him 5 hours to get back to his apartment because he walks around in circles that keep taking him past the delicatessen. But he finally gets there, and the scene is as follows.
Calvin! Calvin, my boy! I've been waiting for you!
Oh, hello, Minnie.
Minnie? Calvin, what's the matter with you?
Oh, Dad.
What have you got there? What is all this stuff?
She sold it to me. She sliced that bologna with her own hands.
Listen to me, Calvin.
Huh? I'm sorry. Dad, what did you say?
My boy, I'm proud of you. I thought last night's escapade was another of your harum-scarum stunts, but this... Listen to this. The statement you gave the reporters this morning.
I gave? What statement?
Calvin, are you...
No.
Listen to this. It behooves each of us in this age of mad commercialism to give a thought to his neighbor. It is our privilege as human beings, nay, our duty as human beings, to reach out and give the other fellow a helping hand. Justice must triumph. Calvin, your mother is coming home from the Catskills.
Let me see that paper. But this... Rupert? Rupert?
I'll leave you now, my boy, and I must say I'm proud. Proud to think that you've turned out this way. I must admit that for the first 25 years you kept us guessing, but now... Keep up the good work, son, and I'll do everything I can to help you. Goodbye, son.
Rupert? Are you here?
Were you calling me, Calvin?
Look, what did you tell those reporters?
I was carried away.
You weren't, but you will be. Why, you've made me the biggest phony that ever came down the pike. I'll be the...
Want me to answer that?
I don't care.
Colby? You Colby?
No, that's him.
Oh. Mr. Colby, my name's O'Hara.
How are you?
Proposition for you, Colby. Great stuff in the papers. My name's O'Hara, 6th Ward.
O'Hara? 6th Ward?
Who are you?
Rupert Salsinger.
What'll they think of next? Well, Colby, what do you say?
Say? Say what to what?
Run for Congress. Social justice ticket. We need a man. You're it.
What? Me? You're crazy.
Strike while the iron is hot. You're a cinch. You'll get votes.
Now, wait a minute, O'Hara.
No time. Got to get an answer now. Take it back to the big boys.
Look, take him.
Him? Why?
He's your man. The little man wronged by society? He'll get more votes than I ever could.
Maybe.
Me? Me for Congress?
Either one of you. Makes no difference. We got to have a man who's going to win. Toss a coin.
I step aside for my friend and colleague, Rupert Salsinger.
What do you say, Salsinger?
Yes, I'll run. I shall step into the legislative halls of our nation with the true spirit of democratic ideals spurring me on. My every effort will be bent toward making the...
Save it. We'll tell you what to say and when to say it. See you later, Congressman.
Yes, sir? Yes, sir, maybe. Oh, hello.
Hello, Minnie.
How are you, Calvin?
Fine.
How's Rupert?
He's busy, but he said to tell you he'll be down to see you the first chance he gets.
I haven't seen him in 2 weeks.
Well, you know how it is, one thing and another.
Uh-huh, I know how it is.
But I'm sure that when he gets straightened around, he'll... Well, he thinks about you a lot.
Sure.
You love him, Minnie?
I promised I'd wait for him until he got a good job. He never did have much. I always felt sorry for him.
I see. Minnie...
What?
Nothing.
What were you going to say?
Nothing, honestly.
Oh. Looks like it's going to rain.
Uh-huh. It looks like a storm.
With lightning and thunder.
Uh-huh. Minnie, there is something I have to tell you about me. The night when I...
What?
You thought I did a wonderful thing?
Oh, it was.
And you thought I was wonderful?
I still do.
Okay, well, guess I'll be going. I've got some things to do, and it's hard to get a cab when it rains.
Say hello to Rupert for me, will you?
Sure. See you later.
Well, that is that. It seems Minnie will not tell Calvin that she is in love with him, and he will not tell her because of Rupert. Anyway, he gets back to his apartment where Rupert is still staying, and the scene is as follows.
Is Minnie all right?
Sure. Look, why don't you get down there to see her this evening?
I can't. I have to make a speech.
Do you expect her to wait forever? Do you? I'll get it. Hello? Oh, yes. Sure. Rupert, it's Minnie.
Oh, thanks. Hello. Minnie, I... What? Now look, I... What? But... Minnie, listen to me. I... How long? But... Okay, okay. I'll do it. Wait there.
What's the matter?
Minnie, she won't wait any longer, she says.
She won't?
She'll give me a half hour to get down there. Calvin, I gotta get dressed. Help me.
Sure.
I'll never get a cab in this weather.
Take the subway down to 2nd Avenue. Walk over from there.
Yeah. My shoes. Where are my shoes?
Where you took them off.
I remember now. I sent them out to be fixed. Calvin, I haven't got any shoes. I can't go out without shoes.
Send for some.
Sure. Bilby's. Get Bilby's. Tell him to get a pair of shoes up here right away. I only got a half hour.
So, they send for some shoes, and Rupert flies out to get to Minnie's. Calvin waits in the apartment. Half an hour goes by, then an hour. By this time, Calvin knows that any chance he has got is gone when something happens.
Hello?
Rupert?
Minnie? Is that you?
Yes. Calvin?
Yes, what's the matter?
He didn't come, Calvin. He didn't come. He didn't love me after all. I waited for him for 3 years, and he couldn't get here in a half hour.
Look, does that mean... Minnie, listen, will you wait any longer?
No, no.
Minnie, I love you.
You love me?
Yes, ever since I first saw you.
Why didn't you say so?
Never mind that now, I'll explain it later. Listen, I'll be right down there.
I love you. I'll wait.
How long?
Until you get here.
Listen, if Rupert gets there first, kill him.
Well, Rupert does not get there, but Calvin does. And he is very happy now, married to Minnie and managing the Schultz Colby chain of delicatessen stores. Rupert is a congressman and marries a wealthy widow. However, I often wonder why he does not get back to Minnie's on time. Well, I find out later. And what the payoff is, I will tell you in a minute. Like I say, I often wonder why it is Rupert does not get to Minnie's in time. Find out one day when I go into Bilby's shoe store to buy myself a pair of kicks. Old man Bilby puts a pair on my feet and says,
"There, how's that, Broadway?"
They're a little big, I think.
You take 8.5. These are 8.5. You should have a little room at the toes. There's nothing worse than tight shoes.
Well, I guess you are right. I will take these.
No, sir, nothing worse than tight shoes. For some people.
Huh? For some people?
I remember the time I saw a man sitting on the curbstone in agony because he couldn't walk. He was in a hurry to get someplace, too.
Oh? Who is that?
I got even with him for wrecking my store.
Wait a minute. Do you by any chance mean Congressman Rupert Salsinger?
I sure do. He had to have a pair of shoes fast once. So I sent him a pair, took them up myself. They felt all right at first, but after you walk a block in a pair of shoes a size too small, well, yes, sir, he walked far as he could, then couldn't take another step. Ain't nothing worse
than tight shoes.
And so ends the famous Damon Runyon story, Tight Shoes. Listen in again next week for the Damon Runyon Theater. You have been listening to a recreation by American Radio Theater, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Fred Hopkins as Corky Lambert, Dave Leese as Rupert Salsinger, Greg Porter as Mr. Bilby, Dan Schindler as Broadway, Reese Hyatt as Calvin Colby, Ken Leese as Mr. Colby, Jennifer Newton as Minnie Schultz, Kim Turner as Mr. O'Hara. Additional support by Beth Schlansky and Terry Elder. Sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. This episode of the Damon Runyon Theater was broadcast on October 30th, 1949, with John Brown as Broadway. I'm Karen Leese, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Ain't she sweet?
Dashing three cadets, always looking.
Ain't she sweet? See her coming down the street. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet? Ain't she nice? Look her over once or twice. Now I ask you very confidentially, ain't she nice? Just cast an eye in her direction. Oh me, oh my, ain't that perfection? I repeat, don't you think that's kind of neat? And I ask you very confidentially, ain't she sweet?
Supposed to have favorite songs. He's supposed to play what the people like. I won't come right out and say I have a favorite, but if I did, it could be this song, especially this month. Don Cornell sings it.
Oh, it's a long, long while from May to December, but the days grow short when you reach September, when the autumn weather turns the leaves to flame, one hasn't got time for the waiting game. All the days dwindle down to a precious few. September, November, and the days I'll spend with you. These precious days I'll spend with you.
It's been a good many years since we put this next tune in our collection of dusty manuscripts, but it's still as fresh as the day we put it there. Mary Lou, I Love You. We're thinking of putting Laurel Leslie and Don Cornell in costume when we do this number in theaters. A celluloid collar may make Don miserable, but Laura is bound to look wonderful with a hoop skirt and parasol.
Some take a ride on a bus, but that would not do for us.
Let's take an old-fashioned walk. I'm just bursting with talk. What a tale could be told if we went for an old-fashioned walk.
La, 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 la. Let's take a stroll through the park, down a lane where it's dark, and a heart that's controlled may relax on an old-fashioned walk.
La, 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 la. I know for a couple who seem to be miles apart.
La, 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 there's nothing like walking and having a heart to heart.
Mm-hmm. I know a girl who declined, couldn't make up her mind.
She was wrapped up and sold, coming home from an old-fashioned walk.
Be miles apart.
La, 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 there's nothing like walking and having a heart to heart.
La, 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 I know a girl who declined, couldn't make up her mind.
She was wrapped up and sold, coming home from an old-fashioned walk. La, 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 let's take an old-fashioned walk.
Here is Lloyd Roberts.
I may
may be wrong, but I think you're wonderful. I may be wrong, but I think you're swell. I like your style, say, I think it's marvelous. I'm always wrong, so how can I tell? All of my shirts are unsightly, all of my ties are crime. If dear and you have picked rightly, it's the very first time. You came along, say, I think you're wonderful. I think you're grand, but baby, I may be wrong.
There's a lot of glamour and excitement for a girl in the band business. But sometimes I wonder if Laura Leslie doesn't feel she'd like to spend her life. Particularly when I hear her, how she puts her heart into this song. Laura, let me listen.
Instead of an office, I want to work home.
guy who comes home. A cozy kitchen to be in their kitchen, that's the thing I'm longing to do. To be there learning and shaking and turning, and just what goes into a stew. Homework. I wanna do homework. A genius who sets and plans with pots and pans at home. A genius who bakes the pie that keeps the guy at
Sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell with, of all things, a weather report. Egad, what'll they write next?
I really can't stay.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I've gotta go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
you drop
so very nice.
I'll hold your hand. They're just like
my mother
ice.
Will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your
and
hurry?
Father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't
well, maybe
hurry.
Just a half a drink
put
more.
Put some records on while I pour.
The neighbors might
say, baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this
no cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew.
Your eyes are like starlight now.
Break the stair.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
If I move in
at
closer.
Least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't
oh, baby,
stay.
Don't hold out.
Baby, it's cold outside. Gotta get
but
home.
Baby, you freeze out there.
Say, lend me a
it's
coat.
Up to your knees out there.
You've really been
I've
grand.
My hand.
But don't you see?
How can you do this thing to
there's
me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong
at least
sorrow.
There will be plenty implied.
Empty talk pneumonia.
I really can't
get
stay.
Over that old doubt. Baby, it's cold outside. Ah, oh, but it's cold outside.
Let's forget what I've been saying.
You mean that you're staying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Baby, it's cold outside.
Laura Leslie says she has a double date. She means she's joining Don and Lloyd in a record session. Here's the result of one of those dates over at the Victor.
If I said a rose to you for every time you made me blue, I cried all night. You'd have a room full of roses, and if you took the petals and you took them all apart, you'd be tearing at the roses just the way you tore my heart. If someday you're feeling blue and you could send some roses too, well, I don't want a room full of roses. I just want my arms full of you.
For smooth driving, it's that beautiful Chrysler with the Prestomatic fluid drive transmission. And for smooth harmony, here are the K-Dets with the K-Choir. And forever and ever.
Forever and ever, my heart will be true. Sweetheart, forever, I'll wait for you. We both made a promise that we'd never part. Let's seal it with a kiss. Forever, my sweetheart. Let bygones be bygones forever. We'll fall in love once again. So let's tell the world of our new love divine. Forever and ever you'll be mine. Forever and ever, my heart will be true. Sweetheart, forever, I'll wait for you. We both made a promise that we'd never part.
Of this song he's going to sing. Now you've got 5 seconds to guess what song it is.
Where the moon swings low on the Alamo in a garden fair where roses grow in the tender light of the summer night. I can see her wander to and fro. For she said, I'll wait by the garden gate on the night I said I love you so. And in all my dreams it seems I go where the moon swings low on
Riding in the sky is a sensation felt only by folks who drive that smooth, silver anniversary Chrysler. Except, of course, for certain ghosts that Don Cornell and the Kay Choir are going to sing about.
An old cowpoke went riding out one dark and windy day.
Oh.
Upon a ridge he rested as he went along his way.
Oh.
When all at once a mighty herd of red-eyed cows he saw, a plowing through the ragged skies and up a cloudy draw.
Oh.
Yippee-i-yay! Still on fire, and their hoof was made of steel.
Oh.
Their horns was black and shiny, and their hot breath he could feel.
Oh.
A bolt of fear went through him as they thundered through the sky. For he saw the riders coming hard, and he heard their mournful cry.
Oh.
From hell or riding on the rain.
Oh.
Then, cowboy, change your ways today, or with us you will ride. But try to catch the devil's herd across these endless skies.
Oh.
Yippee-i-yay.
That's all the time I have for today. Please check out our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, and listen to our latest podcast. You know, we put up a new one every month. You can also find us hanging out at www.RadioOutOfThePast.org in the Fred Bertelsen Room. That's on Thursday at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, and on Saturdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Hey, see you there!